Happy Wednesday, everybody. School's out for summer this afternoon, but of course, we can't miss a show. We're here with your listener questions, including a great question from listener David about how to make the most of visiting the Wilderness Lodge in Fort Wilderness area. What can you do over there to have a little bit of extra fun? These and other great questions coming right at you, but first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I'm glancing down at my iPhone 7 Plus, I can see that we're down to a mere 40 days to go until we head down to Disney's Port Orleans French Quarter Resort. We're going to check that place out, then check into Old Key West, head out on the Disney Fantasy, and come back to Old Key West as well. I'm so excited. Every time I get a text, place a phone call, or post to social media, I see how many days I have left to go. And this is a beautiful app. It turns my Apple device into a Disney device every time I look at it. So check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1175 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. And yes, this is a sweet, sweet day, as this afternoon I will complete my teaching career. We're out for the summer. We're out for good. Was it Alice Cooper that said school's out for summer?
Yes.
School's out forever. Well, we'll see. It could be, I might be teaching again next year, so I got to watch what I'm saying. But for right
what?
Now, the plan is now. I'm just saying, you know, you never know what the future holds. All but right now, I'm pretty happy.
All right.
It's summer regardless. My wife's off. We're all having a good time for the summer, getting ready for the podcast cruise. So happy Wednesday to you. Time for your listener questions. Pam is still, I think she was carried off on a banshee somewhere, so she is not with us, but we'll try to talk to some Na'vi and get her back on the show for next week. But joining me, she came back. The banshee took off. The banshee landed. We have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky?
Yep, my banshee landed. It's all good. So, but I'm leaving again by... I don't have a definition for car, so tonight. So I'm headed back, so it'll all be good. You'll get more great content this weekend too, both from me and Pam. So I'm excited.
But, that is good stuff. Yeah. Look at that. Ricky comes back just to record the podcast and psh,
I did.
Out of
it
here.
Was just for you, Mike. It had nothing to do with the fact that I had to be at work for 3 days. Nothing to do with that. Yeah.
Work, schmork, whatever. Shout out to Mark Yerkes, listening right now live in Epcot on the Facebook live stream. So hopefully you're having
a good time. I actually ran into Mark while I was down there. So that was pretty awesome.
I know. Yeah. He was on the Fantasy. We're going to talk to Mark right away. I believe he gets back this Friday. So next week, not this coming Friday, but next week, we're going to try to do an exclusive to find out for all of our cruisers what's going on with the Fantasy. Of course, she kind of limped back in on that 3-night sailing. Did you see that, Rick? I mean,
you know,
on a cruise ship, I can handle that because all it means is more time on the ship, you know? So I'd be like, okay, whatever.
Right, exactly. And I mean, it's sad that her engine had issues, but I mean, for those who were on the ship, that's pretty awesome for our extra hours. For those who were waiting to get on the ship, that probably stunk a little bit, especially because I don't think they took off until probably later that night. Then, you know, so that's kind of a bummer. But and I heard that their itinerary had to change and everything else too. So that's a bummer. For those who were on the flight, or on the cruise after, but for those who were on the exact cruise, that was pretty awesome to get more extra hours on the ship.
Got that right. All right. Well, don't forget a couple things. We have a couple of Lizard Running, events coming up. Drop by the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Sign up for the Ship to Shore 2 Race Challenge, 2 5Ks. Mm. Get in on the virtual fun. You get an awesome medal. It's $25 a person, 10 for the kids that I believe are 12 and under. All the details are on Facebook. So check it out, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And don't forget, Lizards, we're getting together on June 3rd. It's in a couple weeks on a Saturday morning. here in the United States, check out the time. It's between 8, I think it's 9 and 11 Eastern in the United States. And adjust your times around the world. We're going to all try to run at the same time. So more details on the Lizard Group. But let's get to today's questions. We're going to kick it off with the one that I teased at the top of the show. And it's from David Kirsch. He says, happy Monday, all. I hope all's going well. After booking a trip with you a few months back and coming on the BOGP, I still have some questions that I hope you can help me with. Also, ask Pam and Ricky if they can answer this before we head down. As you know, we're going to do a split stay starting one night at the Yacht Club. We plan on before 10 a.m. on our Monday check-in. This day and night is all about the resort. Having never stayed there or Beach Club, what recommendations would you give us for maximizing the 24 hours or so that we will be there before heading off to the parks and Caribbean Beach for the last 6 days of the trip? Food, activities, lots of pool time are all things we're looking at in hopes of really enjoying our one-night splurge. Okay, let's stop there. There's one other question. So Ricky, staying at the beach or yacht first time, and they're really focusing on, this is so smart, because they're focusing on the resort in that area, not going to the parks. Because you're playing, you know, when you stay at a deluxe, you're paying deluxe prices, you're getting deluxe amenities. So you don't want to pay those prices and rush off and spend the whole day and night in Epcot. Because then you're not taking advantage of what you're paying for. So staying at beach and yacht, obviously Stormalong Bay is going to be a huge part of that experience. Best pool on property. But what else could you offer, David?
I mean, I think that it's probably, I'm totally probably stealing your answer, Mike. But I think that one of the best things that you can do, especially at night, is to head over to the boardwalk area. You've got, you know, all the entertainment that takes place along the boardwalk. You know, you've got jugglers or whatever nightly entertainment that's going out actually physically on the boardwalk. You've got, you know, you've got the Ample Hills, which is there, or if you're into sports, you've got ESPN. You've got, you know, the couple bar areas that are there if they wanted to do that. But I think that you said that they had kids, right? Or did you not say?
Yeah, I believe they do. Yes.
Okay, so probably not the bars. But, you know, there's a lot of great things that you can do around the boardwalk area that's actually just really fun. Or you can, if you didn't want to do Ample Hills, you could do the Beaches and Cream for dessert, too. So, I mean, there's really just a ton of stuff over in that area, too. You really can spend a full day just hanging out in the area that they're talking about and not feel like you're missing out on anything, because there's just so much to experience and do while you're there.
That's a good point. You know, because the thing is, you know, when you stay at the yacht or the beach or boardwalk, it's kind of a conglomerate there. You know, you have all three kind of, you know, of course, you're not supposed to pool hop, go over to Stormalong Bay if you're staying at boardwalk, or, you know, use the boardwalk's pool if you're staying at beach or yacht. But the thing is, other than the pools, you have a lot of amenities, a lot of fun stuff to do that, you know, it's kind of, you know, common areas like the boardwalk. So that'd be my biggest thing. Go over to the boardwalk, swim, maybe schedule a meal at Beaches and Cream. Or, you know, also don't forget, you might want to have that new breakfast, that Bon Voyage breakfast at Trattoria El Forno. You know, that's one of the hot items right now. He has two boys that are 7 and 5. Not really geared towards boys, I don't think. Maybe it is, though. I mean, I think it's great food, character interaction. You know, who knows? So I would say, yeah, you know, take advantage of that. He's got a lot of stuff going on. That is such a great place to land. I'm so excited. We're staying there for marathon weekend, and I hope I get to spend that weekend. Such a blur. You know, I'm worried that I'm not going to get to take advantage of anything, so I'm hoping to be able to change it up somehow to spend time at the resort. We'll see.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what you're paying for with that, you know, such great amenities at the resort. So take advantage of them if you can.
And Chef Todd in the from Belleville, Illinois, is giving a huge thumbs up to Bon Voyage. He was just there.
Ooh,
he knows
good.
His stuff when it comes
to that. Hopefully I'll be getting a blog article about it. Right, Chef Todd?
That's right. Maybe? Good stuff. Maybe? Yeah. All right. Second question is, we will also have two other afternoons/evenings open while after we go to the water parks to take advantage of. We have never gone to Fort Wilderness or the Wilderness Lodge during our resort hopping nights. Any recommendations at either of these resorts or any others you'd recommend for our family of four? They have two boys that are 7 and 5. Thanks for all that you've done and for the podcast, David. All right, Ricky, what's your best practices for? Because I like how you can kind of, with that boat ride, it's really simple to combine Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness. Again, they're going to be down there next week. So this is kind of a last minute thing in less than a week, actually, right now. So this time of year, you know, of course, we say in the Christmas time, go see the Christmas decorations. But this is, you know, the kickoff to summer. What would you do over in that Wilderness Lodge, Fort Wilderness area?
I would say to do the, okay. So my choice was going to be to do the campfire with Chip and Dale because you can do s'mores, but I think that the burn ban is still going on right now in Florida. I'm not 100% sure if it is or if it isn't. So if it is, they're not going to be having the campfire, which makes it a little more difficult, right? So you could always do kind of like the, you could go, well, it's, are they going, they're going at night, right? Is that what they said?
Yeah, because they're going to the water parks those days and they're using this for the kind of not to go into the theme parks at night.
So, you know, you could definitely do something like the, they do the movie on the beach there, as well. They do, you could do one of the wagon ride type things if they're not doing the campfire. I, honestly, if the campfire would be my number one, 100%. But if they're not doing that, then I say like a wagon ride or something like that around Fort Wilderness is a good idea.
Can you rent a golf cart just like by, you know, a couple hours? I think that'd be fun. I don't know. They're just transportation. But I wonder if you could, I've never rented one, but I wonder if you could get it just for a couple hours. That'd be just to, you know, troll around the place. Check it all
if
out.
If it's not something that they do, they really should, because I would totally do that for a couple hours. But I don't know if they do that or not.
We'll have to check into that. So some good suggestions. Also, go to the main lodge. It's a lot of fun. You know, just it's amazing to see and just walk around the grounds. You know, there's not, I wouldn't say there's definitely not as many activities over at the main lodge, but it's, you know, you're in the neighborhood. Go there and have, you know, go to that. What's Geyser Point? Get out there and, you know, just sit at a table without an umbrella.
Yes, of course, because as we know, there are no umbrellas out there yet. So.
All right, let's get to the next question. It is from, Facebook's giving us some trouble. Here we go. It's from Leanne. She says, hello, I've been listening to the BOG podcast. It's my new favorite Disney podcast. Yeah, Leanne, thanks. I have a question. My husband and I are going on a Disney cruise in December. We're trying to go to Walt Disney World a couple of nights after the cruise. We want to book the Keys to the Kingdom tour and the Happily Ever After dessert party with garden viewing on December 27th. We already have our Magic Kingdom tickets. We're staying at the Hilton in Disney Springs. Would it be beneficial to book this early or to book it later? We have been to Walt Disney World several times and are familiar with the booking process. She's concerned about getting the tickets and for the tour and the fireworks. Thank you so much, Leanne. So what do you say, Ricky? I mean, this is something, I mean, it's Christmas week. Book it ASAP, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you want to book anything Christmas week that you have your heart set on, you want to book that as soon as you possibly can, because you never know what will sell out during that week. So, because it is a crazy busy time. I know, I've been there on Christmas Day, so you definitely want to make sure that you have your plans set in stone ahead of time.
Yeah, especially that week. You just want to get everything done ASAP. All right, Crystal's up next. Hi there, my name is Crystal. I'm from Nova Scotia, Canada. I'm planning a wedding for next summer of 2018, and we've decided to spend our honeymoon at Walt Disney World. My fiancé and I went to Disney together in 2013 and loved it. My question is, when to go? We wanted to go during that last 2 weeks of August. We have heard this is a lower crowd time. We like to fly in and out midweek for cheaper flights. The thing is, we do not want to visit the parks when they're decorated for Halloween. I know that must sound odd, but we just want to enjoy the parks as they are. It seems so odd to me that Disney is going to start celebrating Halloween in August, but I see that they are starting this year on August 25th, so I assume next year will be the same. How far in advance do the parks get decorated prior to the Halloween party, the first Halloween party? We want to plan to visit prior to this. Thanks, Crystal. All right, Ricky, so, yeah, I'm with Crystal. I mean, I like seeing the parks with their fall stuff going on, too, but...
Right.
August is just pushing it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there has to be some regular times.
Agreed. I wish that I had an actual answer. Since she's going next year, there really isn't. So sometimes Disney does the Halloween parties early and sometimes they don't. And it really kind of depends on the year. Last year, they did not do them early, as at least this early. They did not start in August. I can guarantee you that. So this year is kind of a weird anomaly, and I don't know whether they're going to continue with this path or whether they're going to go back to regular, you know, like back in September. So I really don't have an answer until they release the party dates. With that being said, I would say that it's probably going to start being decorated about a week before Halloween. I would say that that's about the time when they start, or the first Halloween party. I would say that's about when they start working on things. So if you really want to make sure you avoid it, you know, that second week of August, third week maybe, that would be, you know. If she really wants to make sure that they avoid Halloween, then I would say book either the second or the third week of August, just because we don't know when they're going to do Halloween next year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Definitely stay away from the last week of August and probably the second to last. So, and you're trying to avoid the crowds. Most schools are going back in like the second week of August. So I'd say weeks 2 and 3. Probably. I mean, that's a small window, but I mean, that's probably about the best bet you're going to get. I looked on the calendar, Ricky. Halloween next year is on October 31st.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah. Good. I'm glad that Halloween is on October 31st.
Well, it's been pretty consistent the last few years. It's always right around October 31st.
Did I not say what day Halloween is on? I missed that part.
Just busting your chops. That's what I'm doing.
I don't know what date the first Halloween party is on. So.
All right, next question. Ralph has it. He sent it over to our Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. He says, discovered your podcast 6 months ago. Binge listening to get caught up. Currently, we have 3 trips booked. Yacht Club in September, September of 17. I guess he's okay. So Yacht Club, September 17th, then August 18th, and Wilderness Lodge in December of 17. We've been to Disney World 20 times and love it. My question is, September 17th, my wife Sandy and I will be celebrating our 30th anniversary. I want to have flowers delivered to our room on arrival day. Do I do this through a florist or Disney? Looking for details on how to do this properly without any issues. On our 25th, I got her an engraved glass slipper, which was easy. If I have to do this through Disney, is there a number to call? Any help is appreciated. Love the show, Ralph. All right, so Ralph, I know this one. You got to call the Disney florist, which I don't have the number on hand, but we'll try to get that. They will take care of everything. They'll find out your reservation number, where you're staying, when you're checking in, when you're checking out, the date to get the item delivered to your room and all that good stuff, because we work with the Disney florist here at the travel agency a lot. So
it looks like the number is 407-939-4438.
It's not something novel. Like I was excited. I work with them online. So I was figuring it'd be something like flower. Well, that's too many.
I don't know if that's what it is or not, but that's the number that I'm reading right now on the actual Disney Floral and Gifts website. So I'm going to assume that that's the number you're going to need to call.
Yeah. So if you didn't get that, just Google Disney Florist and it'll pop right up. You'll be fine. Yep. They do a great job too. So they got everything really. It's a piece of cake. So you don't call, the front desk, call the Disney Florist. All right, Amelia has the next question. Hi, Mike, BOGP crew. I cannot tell you how much I enjoy your podcasts. I often listen to them on the way to work or when going on my morning walks. Your upbeat attitude and Disney enthusiasm are always a bright start to my day. My husband and I are new DVC members, having just bought resale this past year at Beach Club. We have a 2-week-long vacation coming up at the end of this year where we will spend 1 week with extended family at Beaches, Turks, and Caicos. Then head to the World on December 31st. Wow, that's a nice trip. We are planning to arrive sometime mid-afternoon after a fairly long travel day from the Caribbean. We unfortunately weren't able to snag a New Year's Eve room at Beach Club, and we won't be able to check into the Beach Club until January 1st. Instead, we'll likely stay at Saratoga Springs for the night of New Year's Eve. After a long travel day coming in, I'm not sure how willing we'll be to hit the parks on the evening of the 31st. However, I'm very tempted to try to go for the early fireworks since we've heard they are so awesome. They are. They're so awesome. I have a few questions. One of which is, will we still be able to get into the Magic Kingdom if we decide to go for the early fireworks show? I've heard that you cannot even walk around easily given the crowds, which sounds pretty miserable. Are the fireworks at the Magic Kingdom worth it, assuming we can get in? Would you recommend another park instead? We will be at the World until January 5th. We'd like to see some of the holiday decorations, but unsure of how long the decorations stay up. In addition, I know there are gingerbread houses in the resorts. Are those up very long after the 1st as well? Thanks so much for all you do. You truly brighten my day with your humor and love of Disney. And she says, P.S. Mike, good luck with your new career. I appreciate that, considering it starts right now. This is the first show. So. First day I've not been a teacher podcasting. It feels kind of the same. You know, thank you so much for that. And thanks for listening, Amelia. So I get it, man. They're going to be tired on that travel day. Arriving on New Year's Eve, I imagine travel that day is even tougher because people are trying to get here, there, and everywhere. What do you say about the Magic Kingdom fireworks when you're already tired trying to get in on New Year's Eve? Ricky, what say you to that? Because I'm curious about your thoughts.
Okay, so if it were me, I would say yes, go for it. But I'm crazy. As we know, I was just at Disney last weekend and I'm headed back again this weekend. So, I mean, my level of crazy is pretty good. And at Christmas time, I was there on Christmas. I was literally there 3 weekends in a row, came back home. I was in Disney more than I was at home. Let's put it that way. So I'm absolutely crazy. So I would totally go. But it is nuts, I will tell you. And it's going to be even more nuts on Main Street USA, which is where you're going to want to see the fireworks. So you're going to want to get into a spot, you know, relatively early, which if you're going to see the earlier show, that's probably okay. So if it were me, I would totally do it. So that's just me. I don't know. What about you, Mike?
I say go to Epcot because, for one, Epcot holds the crowds better and the fireworks are better, I think.
That's true.
That's what I would do.
But, okay, so at Epcot, they don't do the big, like, New Year's Eve fireworks until midnight. They do the Christmas fireworks first. So, I mean, the Christmas fireworks are great, too. So I'm not, like, not knocking them. I think that that's a fantastic show for Illuminations. But if they wanted to see, like, New Year's Eve fireworks, then the Magic Kingdom, it's the early time is the time to go.
I say go big or go home, Amelia. You're already going to be tired. What's a few more hours? And it's a nut house anywhere you go at Walt Disney World on New Year's Eve. Epcot is a nut house, but there's, like, maybe, you know what? I hope they bring that back. You know, you were there, right? The silent dancing. Did you see that in Japan?
The silent dancing was amazing.
That was awesome.
Everybody's sitting there dancing around, and I'm going, what are they dancing to?
That's the weirdest looking thing. I never did get a headset because it was so busy. I wanted to do it.
It was so packed while we were there. Like, seriously, you cannot imagine how crazy busy it is. People waiting in line so that they can dance to music and headphones that nobody else can hear around them, but you just want to do it for the novelty of saying, I danced at a silent dance party.
It's like this, Facebook, watch me. Okay, that's it. So I know we're an audio podcast, so I can't do it too long.
We're audio. No, yeah. It doesn't
work. Hey, shout out to Pam Forrester in the Facebook Live chat. What's up, Pam Forrester? The Banshee must have landed. That's all I know. All right, so yeah, I would say...
I like Pete's suggestion, though, in the chat, is to go to Hollywood Studios and see their fireworks. Which is actually not a bad idea, because usually, I mean, they have pretty good fireworks too, and, you know, so and it's usually not as crowded, because most people go to Magic Kingdom, and they go to Epcot, so.
Yeah, I feel like I'm missing it out over at the studios, you know what I'm saying? Like, Epcot is so close, like, they'd be just like, you know, like, after, because you know how you can see all the parks, if you go to Epcot, like, you do see the studios fireworks, and they're not bad. I mean, I've only seen them from Epcot. But I'm always like, hey, Epcot's for better. You know, I don't want to have, like, buyer's remorse after the fireworks. Like,
I should have gone right, to Epcot. I know. I know what you mean. Yeah.
It's like you can't do it the next night. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's New Year's Eve, man. That's it. You know? You got to wait another year. So, anyway. All right. Yeah. See here. Carolyn from Webster, New York has a question for us. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam on the Banshee. My family and I are traveling to Disney World in June, and Father's Day falls during our trip. As a present, I purchased tickets for Magic Kingdom's Early Morning Magic, and my husband's favorite nighttime show is Fantasmic, so we're going to hop over there to close out the day. I was worried there for a second that she bought that ticket, and his favorite show is Fantasmic. I'm like, oh, he's going to have a sad Father's Day because it's not in that park. Anyway, but I'm wondering if there's anything else that you recommend or that Disney does to celebrate Father's Day. Also, our last two trips were in January and February, so we don't know what to expect temperature-wise. So what are your tips for beating the heat? I love listening to your podcast on my way to and from work, and I love the touring plan site. The reservation finder is amazing, and I found both of my restaurants within just a day of submitting the request. I told my husband, it's like a slow cooker. Set it and forget it until it beeps. Keep the podcast coming along, and thanks in advance for your help, Carolyn in New York. I like that. Set it and just wait for it to do its magic. And that is cool. That reservation finder is pretty sweet, you know, if you're looking for an ADR. our friends over at Touring Plans, one of our sponsors. All right, so let's hop it down. Ricky, you know, you write blog articles on like Arbor Day at Walt Disney World and, you know, you know Shark Day and, you know, Whale Hippopotamus Day and all that stuff. So come on, man. What do they do for the dads? You know, I know Easter's not celebrated big, but come on. They got to do something big for the dads, right? Come on.
I still like Shark Day. I think that's pretty darn awesome. And they do celebrate Manatee Day.
Oh, no, so that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, something, the sea cow. Yeah.
They're sea cow. Yeah, exactly. Honestly, I don't really think they do a lot for Father's Day. I think that some of the Disney Springs restaurants will more than likely have a special Father's Day meal, especially because a lot of the restaurants are owned by third parties. So I would say somewhere like Paddlefish or, you know, one of those restaurants, STK, will probably have some sort of special like dad's meal or something like that. As far as the parks go, they really don't do anything in the park. You may get a special Father's Day cupcake, if that. But I mean, really, they don't do anything special, like they do for Mother's Day, where they usually give you a flower.
Yeah, what's up with that? They should give you like a golf ball.
There's not really
or
anything they can give dads. I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys don't want a flower as a, you know, here after Father's Day.
I'd take a 1-day Magic Kingdom ticket or something, you know, something like that.
I mean, that would be pretty awesome. Or like, even if they gave you a button that said Happy Father's Day or something like that, that would be pretty cool. But yeah, I don't think, I mean, you know, most guys wouldn't want a flower. I can say that. Honestly, I don't think Brian would be like, yeah, I'll take that Father's Day flower. Like, I don't think he would be okay with
They give you is the bill. If you're the dad, you know, you get the bill for the whole week.
That's true. So I like Scott's suggestion, and it's just go get a celebration button. So I'm with you, Scott. I think that's a good idea.
You know what they should do over at 50s Primetime? You know how the drink menu is called like Dad's Liquor Cabinet or something. They should give you a free item off of the 50s Primetime Liquor Cabinet menu.
Everybody would be in 50s Primetime. Let me tell you, they would be lines down all the way down the front to the front of the park. You would have so many dads waiting for their free liquor.
So her other question is about going to beat the heat. And that is something that, you know, she's from New York and the humidity is not, you know, well, I haven't been in New York, but it's not like the Southeast or the Midwest. I mean, it's
just
bad.
There. It's hot.
So what's your tip, though, to beat the heat? I mean, give her a couple suggestions. You know, not the typical, you know, drink a lot. You know, I mean, obviously she knows that, but what else?
Right. Well, I seriously before I left, I bought a fan from I went to Walgreens and they had Disney themed fans that light up, so I was like, cool, I will be buying one of those. So I bought one of those. You know, honestly, really just the best tips, actually going back to this weekend, and you know, it's one of the tips that we always kind of suggest, but when I went to the Starbucks at Animal Kingdom, they actually had an area set up where you could just go in and get water, which I thought was very handy. I actually did that, but that way, you know, people didn't keep going up to the counter and asking for water. They just had it set up there.
Smart.
I don't know whether they had that at all Starbucks at Disney property, but I do know that they definitely had it at Animal Kingdom. So that was really nice. So, I mean, you know, just really, it's so hard. I would say, even if you want to be that person, bring an umbrella and hide yourself under the umbrella to hide yourself from the heat. It's going to be hot. Pull your hair back. That's my other big suggestion is if you're a girl, just forget it. Pull your hair back because it's going to get a sweaty mess if you leave it down. And it just feels so much cooler with it off your neck. I can't even tell you, like, that's the biggest things that I did this trip was just constantly drink water, get my fan out, and have my hair pulled back. That's it.
Well, too, and the thing is, she's there in June as opposed to January and February. For one, the park hours are going to be a lot more extended than in January and February, so you have more time. So what you need to do is you can't go from rope drop to closing. It just, you'll be miserable come 6 o'clock, and you might power on to the end of the night, but you're not, you know, you're not as magical as you were at 9 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, don't be scared to head back to that resort, chill out, take a nap, go swimming, you know, just hang out somewhere air conditioned, you know, and just, you know, just don't stay in that park all day. Get out during the hottest parts. I mean, because I'm a huge Disney fan. I tell myself, well, I could ride the TTA or I could just ride the Carousel of Progress. There's nothing like going back and catching like a nap for an hour, dipping in the pool for a half hour, changing clothes, grabbing a shower. Then you're like fresh for the night. And it's so much more pleasant that way.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
All right. Speaking of Starbucks, did you hear what they're going to have here in St. Louis, Ricky?
Oh, no.
No, I'm serious. It's like a test thing. I saw it on the news the other day that they're going to start using coffee ice cubes. Like the ice cubes are actually made out of coffee.
That.
Yeah, that's like only in two cities in St. Louis. Not that I drink it. I've never been to Starbucks, but I guess it's like it keeps your coffee from getting diluted, apparently.
Yeah, and that's actually really smart. I would totally consider it, especially so having worked at Starbucks. If I were to get a tall or a grande, I would absolutely consider it because the ice does dilute your coffee a little bit more there. Everybody thinks that the venti is actually that it's not as much coffee, but it is because they make the venti size a little bit bigger because it's iced. So the venti cup is actually, I think, like 26 ounces instead of 20 for like a hot cup. So that's not, a lot of people don't actually know that. So they make room for the ice in the venti, which is kind of interesting. They don't make it in the grande or the tall. So I would totally do it if I got a grande or tall iced coffee. Absolutely.
There you go. The more you know.
It does dilute it. I do have to say it does dilute your coffee a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
I think those cubes are like an 80 cents upcharge because, you know, you're getting more coffee.
Yeah, I would totally pay that. That's absolutely worth it. Yeah.
Anyway. All right, back to Disney. And also Nicole or in our Facebook live chat, she says that they get a big black umbrella delivered directly from Amazon. Remember, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon when you order those big black umbrellas. They deliver it straight to her resort, so they have it there when they get there. All right, Jillian's got the next question. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, a longtime listener and love your show. Thanks so much for all you do. I'm taking my 8th grade graduate on a Just Mom and Me trip to celebrate this special time in his life before he no longer thinks it's cool to hang out with his mom. I was lucky enough to have visited in December, but I'm looking forward to all the new summertime offerings, which leads me to my first question. Number one, what strategy would you use to see the Music of Pixar Live, Fantasmic, and the Star Wars fireworks all in the same night? I know this will require a great deal of running, but we only have one night there, and missing any of these is simply not an option. So, Ricky, is that going to be possible to see all three? I mean, I know you can probably see the Pixar music show earliest. That's your first, that's step one, right?
That is absolutely step one. I would say make sure you see that one first. As far as the others, oh my gosh, I really don't know if it, I mean, I'm sure it can be done, but I know like just being there this past weekend, I heard them announce on the tram that I think Fantasmic was at like 9 and the fireworks were at 9:30. And there's no way you could, I mean, you wouldn't be able to have a good spot. Let's put it that way. Even if you were on the very, very back row of Fantasmic and you busted out of there, I mean, you would only be able to see it from maybe from, you wouldn't be able to see the whole thing, I wouldn't think. So I don't know if it really can be done, honestly.
Yeah,
I haven't tried it, but I don't know that it can be done.
And I know where she's coming from because you're trying to maximize that time and see the best of the best and see everything. But here's what I'm saying. I was going to follow you up, Ricky, with kind of the same thing. I think you really do have to make a tough choice here and say, is it Fantasmic or is it the Star Wars fireworks? Simply because if you're trying to do both, you're not going to get the full enjoyment out of either, I think. Because I think if you say you see Fantasmic first, like at the early show, if there's two shows, you're constantly like you're getting a seat just so you can escape and get ahead of it. Because I mean, if you get behind the crowds of Fantasmic, there's 30 minutes right there. I mean, there's so many people in that theater unloads so slowly. So you're probably trying to sit up in the upper left hand corner and you're trying to kind of make your break. When you're doing all that stuff, you're not enjoying the moment. You're not enjoying the show. And like you said, either way, if you do that, by the time you get to the Star Wars fireworks, or if you flip them and you get to Fantasmic, you know, for like a 10:30 show or something, you're not in an optimal spot to enjoy that show either. You know, you're like way behind everybody, especially with Star Wars. You want to see the projections. You want to be up close. You can't just watch it from anywhere. So I say,
and I'm looking right now and I, as far as I can tell, I'm checking on Saturdays. There is only one showing of Fantasmic each night and that's at 9 o'clock, and there's only one showing of Star Wars fireworks and that's at 9:30. And I'm just glancing real quick, I'm picking select nights for each, or, you know, for each one. And it's 9 for Fantasmic and 9:30 for Star Wars. There's no way. You are going to have to pick one or the other. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, if it's like that, there's no even worrying about it, because Fantasmic's at least, you know, 30
minutes
long.
Fantasmic is 30 minutes. Yeah. So you're not, there's no way you're going to be able to see it. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, you have to go back another night. You know, that's how it is. All right. Her second question is on a different topic. My son and I are excited to attempt the Disney Grand Slam by going to all four parks in one day. What tips or guidelines and advice do you have to make accomplishing this fun and successful? Thanks in advance for all your wonderful answers. Jill is in Bourbonnais, Illinois. I've done four parks in a day. Ricky, have you done four parks in a day? I've done it three times.
I've come close if I haven't.
No, I've done it three times. I've run three full marathons.
Uh-huh,
that's what I call it. Yeah. I did ESPN. I did the boardwalk. I did everything. But it's called the marathon running. I rode Expedition Everest. I should say that.
That's right.
No, you know, I would say the thing is, here's the thing. Okay, this is from observing a lot of folks and talking to a lot of people who have done this. If you go in the summertime, it doesn't have to be a running sprint for 15 hours. That's what I've noticed. What you got to do is you got to make some guidelines so that you know, if you're making this into a competition, like the Disney Grand Slam, like they're calling it, set some parameters. Like, what is the, you know, if you want to ring the bell at the end of the day that you did this, what are your specifications? Do you want to ride two e-ticket attractions and try a snack in every park? Or, you know, is it one e-ticket, one, you know, kind of slow, like Omnimover, you know, see one show, have a counter service meal, whatever, you know, set parameters for what the day has the goal at the end of the day. And then, you know, make it reasonable, but then also just, you know, take advantage of, like, go to Extra Magic morning hours if you can, because, or don't even do that. Just go to a park right as it opens. You can get a ton done there. Hop, 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 and go to the park that has the evening Extra Magic hours to close out. But sometimes you don't even need to do that. You know, I've always thought that you just have to constantly be moving, but I've heard of a lot of people getting a lot done in four parks in a day, and they weren't necessarily on the run for 15 straight hours. Ricky, do you agree with that?
No, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. The thing that I was going to suggest is, actually right now they have that express transportation. It's still going on. So that may be something that if you really wanted to make sure that you completed it and you didn't think that it was necessarily cheating, because, you know, some people, it might be cheating to take the express transportation. Some actually want to, you know, use the Disney bus system as it's meant to be used, where you're waiting 30 minutes for a bus. But so it depends on how you want to work it.
Yeah, take the express bus. It's a bargain right now.
Yeah, it does cost money for the express bus, but if you're trying to hit all four parks in one day, that's how I would do it. I would absolutely do the express bus. So I don't consider that cheating.
Where would you hang your fast passes? That's kind of the biggest question, I think, in preparing for four parks in a day. Would you put them in park 1, 2, 3, or 4? Or is there a certain park that no matter what order it comes in, that's where you put your fast passes?
Well, I mean, so here's the deal. Once you make, so if you did it where you only made one fast pass at the beginning, so say, you know, say I went to Epcot and I miraculously got a Frozen Ever After Fast Pass. Once that one gets used, or, you know, the time expires on it or used, then you can make a Fast Pass in another park. Because that happened to me this weekend. I made a Fast Pass for Expedition Everest, didn't ride it, but my brother was able to make us three additional Fast Passes for Magic Kingdom later that night. So I'm not sure if that's something just because I didn't use it that it was able to work, or if it was just because my time had gone up. So if it's the case of you can only make three in one park, I mean, I would have to say it would have to be Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, no? I don't know. You know, because the thing is, say you get to Magic Kingdom.
Maybe Hollywood Studios, because there's not as much to do there. I would say Hollywood Studios.
That's a good call. But I would say, you know, maybe even start at Magic Kingdom and be there right at Rope Drop, because you can do a ton of attractions in that first hour, even without Fast Passes. You can get a lot done and some pretty big stuff. I would definitely either use my Fast Passes for Epcot or the Studios.
Yeah. I think the Studios is probably your better bet, because there are such few attractions right now, the lines are really, really, really long. So I would probably suggest the Studios.
All right, sounds good. Let's get to the last question of the day. We've had some great questions today. You guys really almost stumped us here. Pam might be the brains of this operation. We might have.
She might be. I think. I don't know if she's still listening, but she very well may be.
She's probably sitting down a flying fish by now or something. You know, turned it off.
Absolutely.
All right, David's got the last question. Hi, Pam, Mike, and Ricky. Love the podcast. I've been working backwards through your old podcast, and I've just passed the Eat a Beat era. That's right. We did have an Eat a Beat era. That was kind of like our long hair and bell bottoms time.
Eat a Beat. Eat a beat.
It's still a thing. Eat a beat, especially around Thanksgiving.
It is still a thing. That's hashtag
right.
Eat a beat.
That's right. Always hashtag eat a beat. My wife, son, and I will be heading down this Thanksgiving. There you go. We have.
There you go. Hashtag eat a beat. See,
exactly.
Come on.
That's too crazy. That's when you eat a beat there, brother. We have several hopefully quick questions. Number one, we'll be staying 7 nights at Port Orleans French Quarter, and we'll each be getting a 5-day park hopper ticket. On your advice, we are going to go to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party on November 28th. Question is regarding fast passes. Are they tied to our stay or are they tied to our first time they are used? Since on the day of Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, we won't use a park hopper ticket. But if we start using them on Sunday, will we still be able to get fast passes for Friday, which would be outside of our 5 days of starting to use the park hopper tickets, but still within our resort 8-day stay? Does that make sense? Guess what I'm saying is, are the fast passes tied to the ticket or to the stay length? Pretty simple. They're tied to your stay. Right, Ricky? Back me up here. Sure. I got kind of confused on the question, but yeah. So you make your fast passes based on when you check in. You do have to have tickets associated with that reservation, and you can only make fast passes for as many days worth of tickets as you have associated with that reservation. But it is the day you can make them is your check-in day. But like if you only have 4 days of tickets, you can only make 4 days. So clear as mud. I know Disney makes things so simple. And it's not you, David. It's Disney. It's not you. Second question. What things should we not miss at Epcot during Christmas? You know, we don't talk about that very much, Ricky. You know, we talk about the other parks at Christmas, but what not to miss at Epcot during the Christmas time?
I think, honestly, I think the World Showcase Storytellers, I think that that's a fantastic thing because it ties that whole edutainment aspect into Epcot that we, you know and love so much about Epcot. You get to learn about the different cultures and what they do at Christmas, and it's so fascinating to hear how other cultures celebrate the holiday because, you know, we only think of it as a certain way, but, you know, In China, they do things completely different than they do here necessarily. So I think that's really interesting.
Got to see Papa Noel. Nothing like Papa Noel.
Yes, there you go.
Don't forget Candlelight Processional. You know, you don't have to have the dining package for it. You don't even have to have a seat. Just stand in the back and just take it in for a few minutes. It's amazing. One of the best things Disney does. His last question. I love this one. So be ready. What restaurant has the best biscuits and gravy? My son and I love a B&G for breakfast. David is in Ankeny, Iowa. You know, the heartland. We love our B&G, our biscuits and gravy. I love some biscuits and gravy. Now, is it true Homecoming has biscuits and gravy? Because that sounds like something they would have. I did you eat there this past weekend?
No? I still have not done Homecoming officially. I've done Southern Art here in Atlanta, but I have not officially done Homecoming yet.
I'm craving this place and I've never even been. You know, it's like I'm missing it and I've never been there. It's something. Something's getting bad about this. But Pam was talking about how you can get biscuits and gravy at the food court. Now, they're not great, she said, but for a snack credit. So, if you're really hankering for some, there you go. It's cheap. I don't really know, the best biscuit and gravy on property. I'm trying to think.
Huh. I don't eat. I don't eat biscuits and gravy because I don't really like them.
And you're from the South? What's wrong with you?
I mean, you know, I'm from the Midwest and South, but I also hate grits. So, you know, there's that too. Actually, I don't hate them if there's cheese in them. Turns out I like them when there's cheese. So,
well, everybody ate grits when I worked on a space camp in Alabama, and I couldn't get past the texture.
What's weird is I like cream of wheat, and they're kind like of either. Similar. So I don't understand. But we've gone way off topic with that. So, I really don't know where has. You know what I'm gonna suggest. I am going to suggest that you totally go to Touring Plans, and I'm pretty sure that they have, I'm not sure if it's on the Touring Plans app.
It is.
But you could search what food you're looking for, and they will tell you where you can get it. So at the very least, you can find out what restaurants serve biscuits and gravy. So there's that as an option.
And Nicole says she's a Southern gal. The food court biscuits and gravy aren't that bad. So there you go.
All right, there you go.
I got like that. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's questions. Thank you so much for writing in. We love answering your questions, no matter how random you guys are. And sometimes you're very random. It makes us random, but we appreciate it so much. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com. Ricky, you are just back to the computer, the terminal, where all the magic happens. But what are we reading about this week on Theme Park News Disney Edition, a great free app over at virtualmickey.com?
Well, you can read about potentially, I haven't written about it yet, but you can read about potentially permits that have been filed for an area around Universe of Energy.
I saw that. Is it a goner? That's what I was going to ask you. I haven't had a chance. What do you think?
Oh, man. You know what? I really, as much as it pains me to say, I really think, unfortunately, Universe of Energy's days are numbered. You know, based off the fact of the attraction is so dated at this point, I mean, they almost have to do something to it at this. I mean, you know, it's so old, but I still love it, and it's still, you know, it's still a good nap, but I have a feeling it won't be a good nap for very much longer. So, I mean, I think something's coming. I still kind of don't wish for Guardians of the Galaxy there, but I think that that might be what we end up seeing. Either that or Tron. We'll find out.
When you say that it's a great place to take a nap, that's probably why it's going away.
Probably why it's going away. I have to admit, that's not Disney's main selling point for an attraction. Yeah, it's a good place to take a nap. So, yeah. For us, not for Disney.
All right, so check out these.
They can't sell merch off a nap.
That's true. So. That's very, maybe pillows. Because those are very uncomfortable benches.
They should totally sell those benches pillows for the attraction.
With, like, you know, Bill Nye and Ellen on them. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Ellen takes a nap in that movie.
She does, yeah. So she falls asleep. It's all a dream.
They are missing the marketing of the Ellen's Energy Adventure pillow. I'm telling you, Disney, you could have marketed this.
They could have. They missed it. Anyway, you can read about awesome stuff like this over at Theme Park News Disney Edition, a great free app for your iOS device. Check it out today over at virtualmickey.com. Before we get out of here, Elaine, our favorite lizard who dresses like a dinosaur when she's not, you know, when she feels like causing trouble down at a Disney race. She said she made a ADR for Wilderness, Whispering Canyon, because they have biscuits and gravy on the menu.
So, there you go.
I can imagine they have to be good. Trails Inn might have them too on the buffet.
Something is telling me, and I don't know why, I could be very wrong. The Wave may have, I don't remember exactly, so.
It's that area. Maybe it's like biscuit. We have to rename that instead of being the monorail loop, that area, like if the Wave has it, the Contemporary Wilderness Lodge in Fort Wilderness, like the Biscuit and Grave Alley or something.
Biscuit and Grave Alley?
Gravy. I know.
A little bit different.
Yeah, that's during Mickey's.
No, they do not have biscuits and gravy. I'm looking at their menu right now. So the Wave does not have them. So
Nicole thought they did too. Oh, well. Anyway. All right, don't forget, you can follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. Drop on the Facebook group. We have tons of fun there each and every day. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And please do support the show. You guys, I appreciate it so much. It helps so much with paying the bills for the bandwidth, the hosting, and all that stuff. Just next time you do some purchasing online, go through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Again, it does help the show. Bookmark that site on your computer. Anytime you do some shopping, please do click through on there. All right, we're going to come back again on Friday. Ricky's going to talk about all the fun she had last weekend down at Walt Disney World, minus Pandora. We're not going to talk about Pandora yet, because
I'm being nice to Pam that's it. And waiting for Pam.
Pam's like, don't talk about Pandora until I get back. So, and I don't even want to hear about it, so I don't know what I'm going to do. So in a couple weeks.
You know, you're just going to have to let me and Pam record that one on our own. What could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. I also have to get it rolling, because I'm like Cal Ripken. I got to keep the streak alive. I'll like introduce it and then have to
And then walk away, and then 30 minutes later, come back and see if we're still talking about Pandora. I think that's a good call.
You can just text me or something. Yeah, like, oh, we're almost done.
Mike, we're done.
Okay, cool. All right, well, thank you so much for dropping in. We appreciate it. Hope you're having an awesome Wednesday. But unfortunately, it is time to get back to work, except for me. I'm going to be at Las Fuentes this afternoon.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be fun. I cannot wait. Anyway, have a great day, everybody. We'll see
Drop
you.
Tweets from Mike
today. No. Just hanging out with friends. Lots of fajitas. And we'll see you guys real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.